Saving the best for last, we're going to go really internal now. Assessing internal resiliency factors among Puerto Rican psychiatric outpatients. This is a research collaboration between the Cecil G. Shepp Center for Health Services Research at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and the Clinical Psychology Program at the Carlos Albizu University in the San Juan campus of Puerto Rico. We have two speakers. Dr. Ruth Garcia Robles is a clinical psychologist who sees patients in her private practice and also in public health clinics in Puerto Rico. She studies resilience among subpopulations in Puerto Rico and is the principal author of the Internal Resilience Factor Scale. Her patient population includes people seeking support through the public health clinic system in Puerto Rico. Dr. Robles obtained her BA at the University of PR in Mayagüez campus and her PhD in clinical psychologist at the Carlos Albizu University, San Juan campus, and she completed her internship at the San Juan Capistrano Psychiatric Hospital. In California? No. Puerto Rico. Sean Sayers is an associate professor and a former chair of the PhD clinical psychology program at CAU. In 2001, he obtained his PhD in clinical psychology from the Carlos Albizu University in Puerto Rico. Currently is completing a two-year postdoctoral fellowship in the health services research at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and his research interests include minority populations, resilience, well-being, mental health, spirituality, test development, and validation. So come on up.
Thank you, Margaret, for the introduction. Your Spanish is quite well, so thank you.
Good morning. As Margaret said, we're going to talk about internal resiliency factor. We're going to get deep into the resiliency definition, okay? Our work started a few years ago when we found out that Puerto Rico doesn't have a resiliency scale to measure what is resiliency. And the clinician back there paid more attention to the negative traits. So we want to make an effort and contribute to pay attention to the positive traits in our patients. So the purpose of our study was to assess internal resiliency factor among psychiatric patients with clinical, of course, diagnosis in order to understand how they cope and with the problems that surround them. Our sample was composed of 100 patients, 50 from ambulatory care, and 50 from partial hospitalization. Those patients complete demographic information, and they also complete the scale that we developed a couple of years ago. And that scale measures resiliency with 7 factors: spirituality, satisfaction, problem management, emotional stability, optimism, autonomy, and insight. We have 2 objectives. The first one was to identify resiliency factors that are the strength and the weakness among Puerto Rican outpatients. We also want to discuss how resiliency factors should be used in psychotherapy to promote well-being. Our hypothesis was that ambulatory patients were going to have higher scores than partial patients. Why is it important to study resiliency when dealing with mental health issues? We want to pay more attention to the positive aspect instead of the negative aspect. Our work focuses more on potentiality, resources, strength, and resiliency, of course. We don't want to pay attention more in needs or weakness or risk or pathology. So what comes to your mind when you hear or read the word resiliency? Some volunteers here? When you hear resiliency, what comes to your mind?
Someone who's able to deal with stressors in a positive way.
Good. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Good. Someone else? Well, there are a couple of keywords related to resiliency: bounce back, rebound, hardship, overcome, strengthen, transform, face adversity, protective factors, and also positive adaptation. There's a lot of definitions of resiliency. Want to point out two of them. Walling and Walling define resiliency as the process of struggling with hardship. Also, Sautre, Hall, and Murray says that resiliency has been studied as a dynamic process of successful adaptation to adversity. Successful adaptation to adversity, revealed through the lens of developmental psychopathology. Okay, so two main definitions of resiliency.
Therefore, understanding this and all the literature that exists in resiliency, which has been growing throughout the last couple of years, we decided to create our framework, but we based our framework on Comfort's model from 1999. There are a lot of practices using resiliency, internal or external. In this particular part, we decided to just work with the internal factors, particularly working with psychiatric patients. We have to understand that resiliency is something that means that is dynamic, inherited, as well as learned. And it helps us to combine protective and risk factors when facing ordinary or extraordinary events. This is our main idea behind what's resiliency, particularly internal resiliency. We have our seven main areas with three core components and our internal resiliency factor. As we have discussed previously in our colleagues' presentations, psychiatric patients are resilient. They are. We may think they're not, but try dealing with a mental illness or taking some prescription medicines for the rest of your life and trying to be perceived as somebody normal in community. So they have to they're bouncing back constantly. Sometimes they fall back. We'll figure out why during this presentation. They also have to understand that in terms of mental illness, they have to have three components working to help them balance out their lives, which are cognitive thoughts, their emotions, as well as a spiritual belief in something.
It's like my partner say, psychiatric patients are resilient because they have to deal with the stigma every day of having a psychiatric diagnosis. They have to deal with the iatrogenic effect of the treatment. They also have to deal with the lack of recent opportunity, employment, and every other kind of opportunity. They also have to deal with the negative effects of the unemployment, the negative effect or the side effect of the treatment, and of course, the crushed dreams. Which are the internal resiliency factors among Puerto Rican adults with clinical psychiatric diagnosis? In our sample, we combine ambulatory patient with partial patient. At least in Puerto Rico, I think in the United States it's also the same. There's a difference between ambulatory patient and partial hospitalization patient. One of the differences is that ambulatory patients have minimal face-to-face time with the patient, right? And in partial, they're more face-to-face with the patient. The intervention in ambulatory is weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly. In partial hospitalization, the intervention is performed in 1 or 2 weeks. The length of treatment session in ambulatory goes from 30 minutes to 60 minutes. In partial hospitalization, the length are 6 to 8 hours daily. So there's a difference between both focus of treatment.
So let's go to the nitty-gritty and see more or less general information on who our participants were. Mean age is around 47 years. There were more male in the ambulatory, more females in the partial hospitalization process. Both were married. Education for military was high school. For partial, it was associate degree. Partial were employed. Ambulatory were like retired. Income, it's really interesting that ambulatory patients have less income than those in partial hospitalizations. Stress levels were different, higher for our partial patients. Primary symptoms for both groups were sadness and anxiety. ACCESS-1 diagnosis for ambulatory patients was depression and bipolar disorders, For our partial, we had depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, and PTSD. Years in treatment were a mean average of 3 years for our ambulatory patients and 4.5 years for our partial patients. Improvement, ambulatory said much or a lot, but partial patients had little improvement through time. And one important note for ourselves was diagnosis influences on the way they look towards themselves, others, and life. In general, it was much.
I want you to take a care look of this graphic. Here we compare only the mean score, the mean scores of both groups in each internal resiliency factors. And you can see that they're similar. Both groups are similar in the seven factors. And you can see the difference maybe in the satisfaction factor, if you look at the graphic, right? And also you can see the difference in the insight factor. But if you see a spirituality, they look alike. This is only taking consideration on the mean score, okay?
Furthermore, when we work by gender, in general, our ambulatory females had higher scores as compared to our partial females. Another interesting point, understanding that these are just like variables by themselves, not interacted in any way. Through time, our ambulatory groups had better scores as compared to our partial scores. Even more, through time, as compared to 1 year or less of treatment, through time they would get better ambulatory, but our partial patients were getting worse. The more treatment they had in a partial setting, the worse they would get. So, seeing these variables by themselves is just not the only way to understand what's happening. We did regression models using ordinality squares. We also did specific tests to verify that no OLS assumptions would be violated in this process. As predictors, we plugged into our equation gender, psychiatric group, and time and treatment. And we wanted to predict our seven resiliency factors. And these were our findings.
As you can see here, the only two factors that comes statistically significant with beta coefficient were spirituality and satisfaction. That means that a female will gonna score higher than males in a spirituality factor. There's an interaction significant between gender, group, and treatment years in spirituality, which means that a partial psychiatric hospitalization patient were more likely to have lower score through time than a female. If you can see the interaction and the significance of male was 0.02 and then gender group treatment years 0.05. In satisfaction, they're also as significant in the interaction and also in the treatment year, which means that a patient, the interaction effect between psychiatric group and treatment years, patient in ambulatory care will score higher through time than those in partial hospitalization. Higher with 5 years of treatment or more in comparison of 1 year of treatment or less. That's the same thing. What do we find? If we look at the first graphic, taking consideration only on the factors, focusing only on the assessment of the factor by themselves, we found that patients of both groups have similar scores on spirituality, autonomy, satisfaction, and optimism. The patients in ambulatory care have higher scores than those on partial hospitalization in the factor of problem management, insight, and emotional stability. For both groups, spirituality was the main and the most important internal resiliency factor, which are the clinical implications of these findings. Well, difference and similarities in internal resiliency factor can help us, and this is when public matter comes. Identify protective factors and use them as a strength. Strengthen areas that are weak or have lower scores. This helps us to promote well-being, to promote coping skills, and also to prevent relapse or to prevent the development of the second diagnosis.
Something quite interesting is, as a researcher, we are trained to look at the statistical differences, the 0.05s, the 0.01s. But when you really deal with a psychiatric patient or a population, you also have to look at the clinical implications. Something may have no significance, but if it's a high score, use it for something or to promote. So following the lead as our previous colleagues on their presentations, it is interesting that we know that we have a small sample and size. Can these results be generalized to the overall Puerto Rican population? Moreover, can they be generalized to U.S. populations or other minorities? The answer is that no matter who we are, everybody is resilient anyway. It is a global matter. The difference is that we have to sit down with each individual from each culture and understand where they're coming from. Why? Because personal traits, cultural beliefs, and social support systems will be different. Being a Latino, being an Afro-American, being a white Caucasian, and an Asian American, you have your different experiences through time, from your country of origin or being raised in another country. So we have to promote it at the same time. Therefore, how do we get them better? What do we do different? I think that the work of our colleagues are the focus of what we have to be doing in the near future or soon. We have to use resiliency as a wellness strategy. Why? Because really, we want to try to move people with psychiatric diagnosis to people without psychiatric diagnosis. If you look carefully at this graph or these numbers, it looks like a reflection in a mirror or in a pool. Spirituality is the highest score for psychiatric patients, but the lowest score for people with non-psychiatric diagnosis. However, what makes you feel better is autonomy, which is the lowest score in our psychiatric patients. If we can focus on that, we may bring them up that ladder to be normal or be able to cope better with what they have. So that's a really interesting task that we have to do throughout these next few years.
So now we know that psychiatric patients are resilient, right? That they have the strength inside. And we have to look careful of which internal factor we have to promote in them in order to have resiliency. We found out that resiliency is a public matter, right? We have to promote well-being in global health. As Jennifer, I think she said, mind, body, and soul triad. We have to integrate the whole health, right? We have to treat illness to prevent relapses. Also to prevent the develop of the second diagnosis, which is important too. We have to restructure our treatment. Sometimes treatment doesn't have the objectives. The manuals or the people that work in the treatment doesn't know how to promote the positive traits. So we have to reschedule all the treatment to prompt clinical needs, taking into consideration the variety of symptoms that they have. Not only depression, but bipolar, but schizophrenia, but every type of diagnosis that they have. We also have to improve internal resiliency factor with lower tendency. Now we know that they have spirituality as the main positive factor. Well, we have to promote the other factors in order to help them to have resiliency. We also have to promote protective internal resiliency factor among them.
Furthermore, We have to start changing our one-way policy views and look at its two-way policy views as an interaction between our stakeholder, which is our patient, and to our primary care provider, being a nurse practitioner, being a psychiatrist, being a counselor, or a psychologist. There has to be this two-way avenue that they can talk and promote this wellness, being in an individual session or even a group session. It's interesting that in our partial patient group, it was a hospital setting, people are not getting better, they were like flatline. So what do we have to bring towards them that the ambulatory patients are facing or have a better interaction with? Maybe it's our primary physician who has that difference in how things are. Finally, we also have to understand that whatever we do, we're impacting global economy. We have to invest in mental health programs that promote wellness, so we can have a better understanding of who the person is and focus on all areas and just not on their illness. Let's focus on wellness. In addition, we have to invest in time and money, more human and material resources, but directed toward promoting health. If we can do that, I can be quite sure that we will reduce costs throughout time instead of an increasing cost. Finally, we have to reappraise our objectives and our agendas. What are we doing here? Are we promoting mental health or are we promoting mental illness? So thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure working with all of you. So thank you.